Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We got some pretty grouse guests here on the Mowers Club. None more grouse than our following guests. So this guy played 256 NRL games, 86 tries, 12 times he represented New South Wales in State of Origin, 17 caps for the Kangaroos. But maybe more importantly for our chat today, 3 seasons in Japanese rugby, 4. Now, I'm going to try and get these names right because they're a little loopy. The NTT Communications Shining Arcs and the Cobelco Steelers, including 11 caps for Japan during that time. It is Craig Wing. Welcome to the Mowers Club.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Did I get those teams right?
Almost. It was 6 years in Japan, 3 years for the national team. But NTT Communications Shining Arcs, that was right. Cobelco Steelers. The biggest steel manufacturers in Japan. So over in Japan, you play for companies, not so much like areas. Which is probably one of the things that holds the supporter bases back, because the people that support the teams are just workers for the company. But you get the right company with, they might have tens of thousands of workers and you'll still end up at a game with 15,000 people there.
Yeah, well, Wingy, it's Justin Horror here, mate. We'll get to all the rugby union and rugby league stuff, but a good friend of mine, Luke Burgess, texted me the other day and he said he was playing golf at New South Wales. And then he also told me I wasn't invited because you were the one invited him. I just wanted to know, mate, how that round went and how do I get an invite to the next gig at New South Wales, please,
it was
mate?
Really good. You can come next year. It was actually called the Paul Green Cup in honour of old teammate Paul Green, a legend of a guy. Some old teammates from Cronulla, some guys from the Roosters. They're trying to make it bigger and bigger every year. Also raise a little bit of awareness. But we had a great day out there yesterday. Got a little bit of rain, but it was a good day. Yeah, you'll have to come next year.
Yeah, awesome, mate. All right, let's get into the rugby union stuff in particular, because we're really intrigued. You being an ex-Rooster, you're almost familiar with this. You had a rugby union background as well. You actually played when you were younger, similar to Joey Manu, would have played back in New Zealand. How do you envision the transition for him and also the pressure that's associated with what Joey's going to go through now for the rest of the season, his last season for the Sydney Roosters, maybe ever. How do you see the move for Joey long-term and in the short-term as well?
Oh, I think it'll be good. I mean, like, he's done everything in the game here. If it's a new challenge that he's after, it's probably the perfect thing for him. For me, I was just looking for something different at the back end of my career. I really wanted to travel and see the world and live in and play in a different country. I was originally talking to France and then I was looking at England, but Japan popped up. I think he'll do really, really well. I think it'll probably take him, I think he'll go really well in rugby. He's tough, he's fast, he's got all the skills. And he's still got a lot of years ahead of him. It took me about 6 months to work out where I needed to be on the field and at what time. And then probably 3 or 4 months after that to start to manipulate the game plan, being able to go away from the game plan and come back to it. But I think it'll be a sensation over there.
That's an interesting point, Wingy. 6 months. Would you say that's more because you had an understanding of the game previously? How long do you reckon?
I found that my Australian high school experience didn't really help me.
Yep.
It was more a case of, I'll give you an example. And it also depends on the level of communication back and forth from coaching staff and how much time they're putting into him and how much they're assuming that he knows. So I'll give you an example. I was playing a game. It was about, we played about 6 weeks in a row, four or five weeks in a row. That was a preseason trial game. And we kept on, and we're in defense and I was going up, putting good hits on. But then we kept on getting penalties in the breakdown. And we must have given away about 20 penalties over the space of these 3 or 4 weeks. And I turned around, I'm like, which idiot in this team is giving away all these penalties? And they turned around and said, it's you. You're not rolling away when you make the tackle. Because I was trying to tackle them, roll them on the back, dominate them, and then I'd pull away.
Yeah.
But when you make the tackle, you're supposed to just completely pull away. But no one dared pull me up on it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I wanted to ask about, so this probably leads into my question. What's the transition like culturally, but also from a language barrier perspective around training and playing with players from other countries?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's a lot different to when I first went there and even when I left. And it's been a while since I've been there. When I first went there, I guess it was kind of fringe Super Rugby guys and fringe Super Rugby coaches. And then in a very, very short space of time, it went to ex-internationals, then current internationals, just doing a bit of a break over there, to international coaches. So my last two coaches that I had in Japan ended up going on to become the Springbok head coaches. So that's the caliber of personnel you have over there. What will generally happen, depending if you've got an Aussie, New Zealand, South African coach or a Japanese coach, a message will get delivered in whatever language and then it'll get translated. And then when you're on the field calling plays and everything like that, that's almost like a different language altogether. My Japanese was early on when we had a Japanese coach. That was my second coach. My Japanese was pretty good because you actually listen to the Japanese, then it gets translated to English. Yeah. But then when I had South African coaches, he'd deliver in English and then you'd just switch off because you knew what the task was. But it is pretty interesting. The Japanese make a bit of an effort with the English as well. But to be fair, the English is not really that great. But when you're on the field, you're talking another language anyway.
Could you hit us with a pass the ball in Japanese?
I tell you what, my Japanese is a horrible.
Oh, I lost it.
Horrible fist over there, and I've completely forgotten in the last, 8 years now?
Yeah.
What about culturally off the field? So I'm 6'5", wingy, and I really struggled when I went to Japan with adjusting to some of the beds, the bathrooms, the hallways and buildings. Did you find it a bit of a cultural shock living in Japan?
Yeah, it is a bit of a culture, just in the way that they do things. The meals when you're going away for a team trip away, what's served up for breakfast can be quite interesting at times. I'll never forget, we had a back rower by the name of Andres Becker who played for the Springboks. He was the tallest man in world rugby at the time, and we'd go away on our team trips away to play against other teams. And you'd sometimes stay in these businessmen hotels, that's what they'd call them. They're just a small bed, a little shower that's kind of, it's almost like a, it's built in, it's like a, you just slide it into the room.
Yeah.
And you step up into the shower and then just enough space to put your bag. But he couldn't sleep in the bed. So he would be laying on the bed and from his knees down would be hanging over the bed. So they'd try and squeeze two beds into the room and he couldn't fit into the shower. It was hilarious, actually. And one of the things I found quite interesting over there, but when they were kids, they would teach them. So Japanese always take things to the next level. So, you know, in Australia, you get taught to tackle around the legs. In Japan, you get taught to tackle, when you're a little kid, tackle below the knees. So there was these, they actually had these knee-high tackle bags, I remember, at one off-season camp that we had, and we all had to tackle these knee-high tackle bags. So you can imagine a guy that's almost 7 foot trying to tackle these tackle bags. It was absolutely hilarious.
So you said that people wouldn't pull you up early on the penalties. Did you surely pull them up on the tackling technique and these pads that we're using in the training sessions?
Oh, so it's pretty interesting. Like, it really depends on your coaching staff over there. So I remember there was a couple of years where we had, like, internationals in the team, but the head coach was a Japanese guy that didn't want to look like he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
So as opposed to kind of coaching everyone up to our level and trying to suck us for as much information as possible to, you know, help better himself, he coached us down to everybody else's level. So he would be saying, oh, no, we can't do that because the other guys can't do that. But then you get a more professional coach and then it's all about, okay, look at these guys we've got in the team. Let's see how these guys can help help all the Japanese guys get better. And the guys that have adopted that mentality, the teams just get better and better. And the Japanese guys, they work so hard. They never, ever complain. They'll do big hours, and they learn really quickly.
You mentioned coaching before, mate, how important it was for your transition. Joey Manu is going to a coach with Steve Hansen and Ian Foster,
not
a part
bad.
Of the makeup. Not bad. Put your where do you envision Joey Manu playing after this stint? Do you think he stays in Japan? Do you think it's a possibility that he could potentially become an All Black or play in the Rugby World Cup after this stint? Or do you see him coming back to the Roosters? Where do you think Joey Manu will end up after this current contract that he's about to sign?
Well, provided he's fit, I think, you know what, I really think he'll kill it. You get two different coaches over in Japan. You get the ones that go the South Africa mould, which generally South African coaches, where they play the set piece. It's really boring footy. It's all about forward, hit up, back, hit up, field position, all that crap. And then you get the more all-back orientated coaching staff that play what's in front of you. It's all about the playing to space and running rugby, all that kind of stuff. He's lucky he's with those guys, and I think that he'll learn a lot. He'll be a sensation, and he'll really stand out, provided his forwards could do the job in that particular team. And I think any representative rugby team would be crazy not to be looking at him, just given his background and pedigree in rugby league. As to where he's going to be, who knows? I mean, like, if he's fit, he could be playing in Japan rugby, earning good money until he's 40.
Mm. Would it be financially beneficial for Joey to represent Japan at a World Cup? Like, is there extra incentives away from those club contracts?
No, not necessarily. Okay. Not really. I mean, when I was playing for Japan, same as when I was playing for the New South Wales Blues, back then, we were getting paid like, what was it? I think we were getting paid like $15 a week.
Oh, what? Wow.
It's completely changed now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the representative team, because the whole budget was going to our facilities and our all flights and everything like that, where it's... So the governing body there, I don't think, has that much money. It's all the individual teams. They're like...
Yeah, okay,
you know, you've got like Toyota, which is where he's going, or you've got Suntory. They're just individual companies that have got that. Basically, what they would do is go, right, we need something for the company to support and bring the company together. Let's have a rugby program. Here's $5 million and go and make us a rugby program. It wasn't about gate receipts. It wasn't about memberships. It wasn't about trying to generate revenue out of the team. I don't know if that's changed much in the last 8 years, but if he had an opportunity to play for New Zealand, he'd certainly get more mileage out of that. I qualified to play for Japan because I never played for another, I didn't play for another country in rugby union, and I qualified through residency after 3 years.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's how it worked.
Do you get any ongoing benefits from NTT Communications or Kabelco?
No. Just, you have friends there and you have them for life. So any chance I get to go back, and occasionally I'll catch up with different guys if they're still around. But it's a great, great cultural experience. And for me, it was a really good soft retirement, I guess, in the sense, transition to retirement. Mm. You go from being in the spotlight in the papers every day of the week here to going over there, unless you're at the footy stadium. Unless you're at the footy stadium, nobody knows who you are.
Yeah, before we let you go, Wingy, Joe Manu's leaving the Roosters. You obviously had a lot of success at the Roosters. They're 3 wins, 4 losses to start the season. We were just saying at the start of the show, they're underperforming this year with the roster that they've got. What's the problem for the Roosters, and how do you think they get themselves out of this win-loss record under 50% with the talent that they've got in their team?
Yeah, look, it's probably just a few little tweaks, but I always note with the Roosters and Robbo, all the good teams that always finish strong. I don't mind my teams kind of not going great at the start of the year, provided they're winning a few or they're not too far off the pace. because it's a bloody long season, and provided you're hitting your straps at the right. Look, I'd be more worried if they were winning every single game in a row here and now.
Yeah, well,
okay, there you go.
That's the way I look at the season, because it's so long.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Wingy. Some really interesting insights there into Japan, Japanese rugby, and also your rugby league career. So you're welcome back anytime.
Cheers. Thanks very much, guys. Have a good weekend.
There he is. Roosters, New South Wales, South Sydney, Australian and Japan.
That
legend,
was awesome. That was
Craig Wing.
Yeah. So much good information in that.
So good. It's reminded me of a few Japan stories as well that I'll tell our listeners just after the break.